Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Glendora Hughes, Esquire, who's general counsel for the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights. And Glendora is here today to talk to us about the various things that the commission is doing to try to help civil rights in our state. So, Glendora, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate being on your show.
Well, I really appreciate you coming. I know how busy you are, and that's good because I'm a taxpayer. First of all, for those of our listeners who are not familiar, could you tell us a little bit about the commission?
The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights has been in existence in various forms since 1927. It was one of the earlier agencies of its kind. It was started off as an agency dealing with race issues, a commission on race. Later on, Ron and I became the Maryland Commission on Human Relations, which was the names that were used. And then subsequently, we wanted to pare it down to what we actually do, and we changed our name to the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, which is what we are today.
And I know that you provide a range of services, including lawsuits as well as education and training.
Well, the commission is primarily it's a law enforcement agency in the sense that we enforce the state police power to address unlawful discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, and then we've got commercial non-discrimination, and after last year's legislative session, health services. And we take in those complaints and we then investigate those complaints and we make a determination whether there's sufficient evidence to determine whether it's probable cause or no probable cause. And those cases that are determined to be probable cause, we attempt to settle. And if they don't settle, then they're sent to my office, the general counsel's office, for litigation.
Could you give us some contact information for the commission, please?
You can reach the commission on our website, mccr.maryland.gov, spelling out the word Maryland, or you can reach us by the 800 number of 637-6247 or locally 410-767-8600. And then Maryland Relay is 711. So
great.
There's various ways to reach us. And our website, you can contact us to file a complaint and also find information on education and outreach, what events we have planned, and some other information and news concerning the commission.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. What's your background and responsibilities?
As general counsel, I am the agency's attorney. I represent the agency. And I'm sort of like as it comes to complaints, we're sort of like prosecutors. We prosecute a complaint of discrimination on behalf of the complaint. We don't represent the complainant. We represent the complaint. Just like in a criminal action, the state's attorney represents the charge, but not necessarily the victim.
Uh-huh.
But the complainant can have representation as well as the defendant, whether it's the employer or the landlord or the business owner, they can be represented by counsel in our process. And we litigate cases. We do advice to our client, the commission, do regulations. And we do training along with the education and outreach to train our staff, and we do training for the public as well.
Thank you. And I know that the commission, like everybody else, has been upended by this COVID crisis. How are you folks doing?
Well, we're managing. We are working remotely. We're not accepting face-to-face interviews, so we are when the governor issued his state of emergency, we were pretty much prepared because we do investigators do. We're already used to maybe once a week working teleworking. We just had to upload certain software that would allow us to have access to our network from home. We are processing cases as we always do. We are taking in cases as we always do. And we are, continuing the business of the commission. It's just that we don't, we're not having fact finding conferences or having face-to-face interviews because of the pandemic.
I wanted to ask you about the identification of the hate, racism, and bigotry that was so much a part of the January the 6th insurrection at the Capitol, as well as the discrimination that continues and the prejudice that continues in Baltimore. And what's your perspective on that now?
Well, my perspective is that it's always been there. It's more covert than it was overt. A lot of cases were difficult to address because of the covertness of it, where people didn't come right out and say things.
Right.
But in the last 4 years, because of the climate that we're in, people are being more overt in terms of saying what they think and acting upon it. So you see the uprising of white supremacist groups. They've been enabled. We see people confronting folks in the grocery store on the street and saying hateful things. This insurrection that we witnessed on January the 6th, many of us that work in this business, we were not surprised. We were shocked to watch it, but we were not surprised because the chatter, the lack of response to these groups led us to believe that at some point the pot was going to boil over, and these people who were emboldened and enabled were going to take matters into their own hands. And, we had the canary in the tunnel when we saw what happened in Michigan when they took over the state house in Michigan with guns, and the police did nothing.
Right.
And then threatened to kidnap the governor. So when people push the line, they push the line, and they got away with it, then, the next step is egged on. They proceeded to attack the Capitol.
Yeah, it's like a kid with their hand in the cookie jar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless that hand somehow gets stopped from doing it again, they're going to do it again.
Right, but until somebody stops them. And this was something that was preventable, but because they had support and still have support, even from some of the victims in the Capitol, the representatives, who basically ignored the fact that their lives were in danger, did not address the issue when the opportunity came. It is something that you have to stay vigilant on, and that we do have a component in our statute concerning hate crimes where we receive reports from the state police who are charged with gathering data concerning hate crimes and hate groups to address, keep an eye on that kind of activity. But it needs more teeth in terms of, okay, so we know they're doing it. What do we do with that information?
What would you recommend folks listening to do about these kinds of things?
Well, I think the thing is to report it. If you witness that a hate crime or there are criminal components of state law that prohibits certain hate crime behavior, and they're considered crimes, and that people should report any hate crime. Sometimes the victim doesn't want to report it, but if you witness it or see it, it's helpful for the police and for law enforcement and for your own representatives, your delegates, your senators, that they need to know that this is happening and where it's happening and how it's happening.
Yeah.
And who are the perpetrators of this? Because the more the light is shined on these kinds of activities, the better chance we have of addressing them. A lot of this stuff is covert and in the dark. until they're ready to take action. And we have to continuously stay on guard and shine the light on this type of behavior.
Because if we let it go unpunished and unreported, frankly, that just encourages more of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the heartening things was that the summer, this past summer, was people saying enough is enough and going to the streets and protesting and pointing out the behavior, not only just in terms of these groups, but in terms of law enforcement and also in terms of the infiltration of law enforcement in the military by these groups.
Yeah, yeah. The Annapolis session is underway, and I know you're active as well as the commission, other folks and advocates. What needs to be done?
There has been a lot of hard work done by the delegates and senators themselves in putting forth legislation to address police reform, to address health care disparities, to address economic disparity. And the important thing is you can go to the website, maryland.gov, and click on legislation and get the General Assembly. You can see what bills are being heard. You can even listen to them. All of their hearings and committee hearings are virtual, and you can hear them on YouTube and watch them on YouTube. But one important thing to know is that these delegates and senators do look at emails and phone calls they receive from their constituents. They take them very seriously, and they do, when they receive emails and contact letters or phone calls from people in their district, their voters, because you are the voters for them, they will take it in consideration in terms of how they vote on the committee and how they vote on the floor in general. When you only hear one side, for instance, before in Annapolis, when there were bills to get rid of the Law Enforcement Bill of Rights or bills that were dealing with the police, the only people we would see down there is the police, in force, testifying and lobbying. They only heard one side. Well, this time around, through the advocacy of the advocacy groups, through what some of the outcomes from this last summer of marches and people taking the marching to action, they're hearing from the people who they generally don't hear, the constituents, the people who are victims of law enforcement abuse, the people who are victims of health care disparity. And so that being heard is very, very important otherwise they're operating in a vacuum and think they're and only hear from one side of the story and not the other side. So though people think votes don't, their voices don't count, yes, they do.
And that's unfortunately about all we have time for. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please, Glendora?
Absolutely. Our website is mccr.maryland, maryland.gov. Phone number 800-637-6247 or 410-767-8600, and relay is 711.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Come back again. Come back again. We just touched on some of your responsibilities and you're doing such good work and for so many of us that we need to hear more.
I do want to point out that we're having two activities next week. The 24th of this month and the 26th for Women's History Month. The 24th would be dealing with gender and inequality in the pandemic, and the 26th will be barriers to equality for trans women.
Okay,
great. You can go to our website, click on ENO events, and it will help have the registration information.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Just go to that website, www.mccr.maryland.gov. Unfortunately, though, that's all the time we have for Living in Baltimore today. I want to thank Glendora Hughes, Esquire, who's General Counsel for the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest today. Thank you, Glendora.
You're welcome.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.